DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
This episode is brought to you by Prep Starts Now, because life doesn't come with a warning. When an emergency strikes, whether it's a power outage, natural disaster, or even a medical scare, the last thing you want is panic. Prep Start Now empowers families to be ready with the right tools, knowledge, and confidence. They're about smart planning so you can focus on protecting your family instead of scrambling for solutions. Their shop has everything from first aid kits and water filtration to backup power and essential gear. Plus, their Prep Academy makes it easy to learn emergency skills with simple guides and quick tips anyone can follow. I've arranged an exclusive 15% discount for my listeners. Just go to prepstartsnow.com and use promo code ZEROSIGNAL at checkout, or click the link in my show notes where the discount is applied automatically. Don't wait for the next crisis. Take action today. That's prepstartsnow.com. Promo code ZEROSIGNAL. I've worked in technology long enough to know digital catastrophes rarely come with explosions or hooded hackers pounding on keyboards. They start with something microscopic, a single line of code, a forgotten configuration flag, a timing bug that races through systems faster than anyone can blink. That's how the biggest infrastructures collapse, quietly, mathematically, inevitably. The Amazon Web Services outage this week is one of those moments. And as of this recording, the Amazon issue still continues. Large sections of the internet remain unstable. Bank APIs are failing. Warehouse robotics are frozen. And even segments of air traffic coordination have dropped into manual mode. If you ever wondered what the world might look like if someone really did pull the plug on the cloud, this is the preview. Tonight, we're breaking down what's happening, what could happen next, and why the web of conspiracy theories always blooms when the lights go out. This is Zero Signal Shorts. Remember to tune in Tuesdays at 6 a.m. Eastern for our full-length deep dive episode.
So the breaking news this morning that many, many Americans are waking up to: massive internet outage impacting major websites, major apps, gaming platforms, including Amazon, AT&T. Just look at this list: Delta Airlines, Disney Plus, Facebook, Hulu, Snapchat, United Airlines, Venmo, more than I'm even mentioning there. At the center of this is Amazon Web Services, that major provider of cloud services for all sorts of companies.
AWS, or Amazon Web Services, isn't just another company. It's the spine that holds up most of what people casually call the internet. It hosts the data of governments, militaries, hospitals, streaming platforms, banks, insurers, and AI labs. Every transaction, every GPS ping, every medical image, every message you send rides through its fibers at some point. When that spine spasms, the entire body convulses. This incident began based on early operational reports in the US East 1 region, which is Northern Virginia. It looks unremarkable on a map, but it is the densest cluster of data centers on the earth. At 5:42 a.m. Eastern Time, monitoring dashboards across the industry lit up red. Authentication failed. Databases desynchronized. Caches expired faster than they could refill. Within minutes, Fortnite, Snapchat, Alexa, and 1,000 other platforms cascaded offline. For engineers, it was deja vu. For everyone else, it was panic.
What is a data center? A data center houses rows of computers and equipment for storing, processing, and transmitting data. They typically have few windows and extra security, including cameras and sometimes biometric screening.
The computers need a lot of electricity to operate and to keep the equipment from overheating. That also requires more electricity and huge amounts of water for elaborate air conditioning.
The International Energy Agency says one large data center uses the same amount of electricity as it takes to power 400,000 electric cars. Tech companies are increasingly using their data centers to train and operate artificial intelligence systems. Training an AI model to learn from huge amounts of data requires additional computing power. Conventional data center services run on processors known as CPUs. AI relies on graphics processing units, or GPUs. The IEA estimates that asking OpenAI's ChatGPT to compose an answer requires nearly 10 times as much electricity as a traditional Google search. Amazon, Microsoft, and Google have all announced plans to tap into nuclear energy to help power their U.S. data centers. They've also helped finance new wind and solar farms and other alternative energy sources. In the near term, however, most data centers are still heavily reliant on the surrounding electricity grid, which is largely powered by burning fossil fuels, the primary cause of global warming. This is making it harder for some countries and tech companies to keep their promises to address climate change.
To understand the scope, picture the cloud for what it really is. Rows of machines and sealed buildings the size of aircraft hangars, cooled by rivers of refrigerant, guarded like embassies. Electricity in and data out. No angels, no vapor, just humming steel. We built this architecture for speed, not sovereignty. All the redundancy lives inside the same few corporations. That's kind of a paradox. Three companies provide a huge share of the planet's computing capacity. We call it distributed. What we actually built was concentrated within three companies and close to a single point of failure, at least mathematically. Well, engineers worked in silence. The rest of the world filled that silence with stories. AWS down, trend it before dawn, quickly followed by kill switch, great reset, and digital purge. Within hours, social feeds turned into war rooms. Telegram channels filled with maps of data centers and Reddit threads drew lines between power fluctuations, missing satellites, and deleted financial records. Each theory tries to answer the same fear. What if this wasn't an accident? Many conspiracies were chatted about. First, let's talk about the kill switch hypothesis. The digital world has a master key, a hidden off switch, controlled by governments or the corporate elite. If such mechanisms existed, an AWS region would be the perfect live test. Take down one critical artery, observe banks, supply chains, and public sentiment. Recovery always looked choreographed. Status pages use euphemisms. Executives go silent. Services return in phases. No proof, just a pattern people can't unsee. Next, let's talk about the cyber attack scenario. A state actor probing the cloud's armor, seeking a cut that doesn't bleed, just silences. In a world where banks, satellites, and power grids run on shared infrastructure, a surgical strike on AWS is a digital nuclear bomb. The buildings remain, the function disappears. The timing of the geopolitics make it feel less like an accident and more like a message. Next is the data purge theory. Outages as camouflage. A moment to rewrite or erase inconvenient ledgers. While replication is broken and logs are chaotic inside large systems, failed synchronization already looks like vanishing and reappearing records. If it happens by accident, the imagination says it could happen by design. Next is the AI containment theory. And in this theory, an experimental model grows beyond its guardrails. The outage is quarantined. Racks powered down to starve the model of oxygen and information. It's techno-horror, but it sticks because every insider admits our system sometimes outpaces our explanations. And lastly is the great reset frame. The ideal that outages like this are the staging phases of a plan restructuring. Currencies rebooted, identities reissued, databases rewritten under a unified access regime. A reset, not just of systems, but of power, rolled out as security improvements. You don't have to endorse any of it to see why it thrives. When half the internet disappears and the official explanation sounds like a configuration issue, logic feels almost too small for scale. Complexity itself becomes the currency. Now let's take a step back for a second. People like to say, what if the cloud disappeared? And I would tell you this. AWS, like other data center providers, is in a single building. It's a global mesh of hundreds of data centers grounded into availability zones and regions. Each region, like US East 1 in Virginia or EU West 1, which is in Ireland, has multiple physical separated facilities with independent power, networking, and cooling. They're designed to fail independently so others can absorb the load. If one region goes dark, you see massive pain. Millions of apps fail at once, but AWS as a whole doesn't die. It fragments. Pieces of the internet flicker depending on how carefully each system was built for redundancy. To obliterate the entire network in an instant, you need simultaneous global destruction or sabotage across continents. Now that's science fiction. The most plausible hard failure is regional, a physical disaster like a hurricane, power collapse, control plane breach, or undersea cable cuts that isolate continents. So the realistic nightmare isn't instant erasure. It's gradual isolation. Regions can't talk. Authentication fails. Recovery scripts depend on systems that are themselves down. The data doesn't evaporate. It's still on physical drives. But if the management layers or the brain are compromised or destroyed, nobody can reach those bits safely. Think of a citywide blackout. The buildings and the filing cabinets still exist, but the roads are gone and the locks are electronic. Bomb a major region like Northern Virginia and millions lose live access. Many would still have cross-region replication or secondary clouds. Recovery, can take days or weeks, but not an eternity. To actually erase humanity's digital record, you need global physical destruction across all hyperscalers and grids, an apocalyptic scenario. Short of that, our data survives. Even if parts of the infrastructure burn, it just becomes stranded, petrified in silicon, sealed in dark racks, waiting for someone to turn the lights back on. But here's where it gets a little bit tricky. If a large-scale event did occur, and rebuild phase would happen between days, months, and years. The first responders aren't firefighters in this instance. They're engineers with generators, satellite uplinks, and forensic drives. They power one aisle at a time, verify signatures, rebuild indexes, CPR for civilization's memory. Within days, government asserts control. In the U.S., emergency orders effectively convert major cloud sites into critical infrastructure. In Europe, frameworks kick in. China calls it what already is, state property. The cloud is reborn as a utility, like water and electricity, managed as much by policy as by code. Reconstruction happens in layers. First, power and access, restore electricity, fiber and switches, and centralized failover authority to prevent future chaos. Publicly, it's load management. Privately, it's standing digital emergency. Second, identity. Now we ask the question, who is allowed back in? Old tokens and certificates have expired or are trapped in dead systems. New credentials roll out under the Unified Access Framework. Biometrics and government verified digital IDs as universal keys. It sold us safety. It functions as control. Third, data integrity. Reconciling and conflicting copies at a planetary scale. When two ledgers disagree, someone decides which history wins. Restore and correct become the motto. Correction is the quiet twin of censorship. By the time the cloud hums again, the data will be pristine, but the truth may have shifted by the width of the checksum. Commerce restarts on new rails. Expect state-backed digital money as default settlements, cross-border transactions gated by unified identity, and cash made inconvenient rather than illegal. Tech firms promise decentralization, but verification routes through a small number of access gateways. The new choke points? AI systems. Silence during the outage. Return as reconstruction engines, combining corrupted logs, proposing architectures, and inevitably designing the next control planes. Human-guided at first, machine-led by necessity. This is how empires rise from outages, not with conquest, but with consolidation. Collapse exposes dependency. The rebuild locks it in. When the next AWS scale platform appears, it won't just be a company. It will be a coalition, governments, telcos, defense contractors, and AI government boards under one reliable charter. They'll call it the Global Cloud Compact. And for the first time, most of the world's data will pass through the same filter. Not because force demanded it, but because everyone agreed the alternative was absolute chaos. Every outage story has a shadow story. Energy. Data centers already draw a meaningful slice of global electricity, and AI is accelerating that curve. Training runs, inference farms, and GPU clusters that drink power and dump heat. Regions like Northern Virginia, Dublin, and parts of the Pacific Northwest are straining local grids. Utilities are building new substations just to feed server halls. Cooling isn't abstract either. Many facilities consume vast volumes of water annually or shift to power-hungry chillers in the dry seasons. When outages hit, backup diesel generators roar to life, turning a digital failure into a literal emission spike. And that's the environmental paradox of AI everywhere. The smarter our software gets, the hungrier our hardware becomes. For reliability demands more redundancy and more local failover, the cost is more land, more power, more water, and more pressure to place data centers near population hubs where the grid is already tight. An outage doesn't just threaten uptime. It reshapes energy policy. In the next rebuild, expect green SLAs to sit beside latency SLAs. Megawatts promised, gallons accounted for, heat recovered and reused, or permits denied. You don't need conspiracy to be vulnerable. The architecture guarantees it. Concentration risk means three providers share a lot of the same failure domains. DNS, identity, fiber interconnects. Supply chain risk means startups, banks, and hospitals all rent the same plumbing. Efficiency until it isn't. Data integrity risk means when we synchronize breaks, there is no objective ground truth. Only the copy that wins reconciliation. Energy risk means outages collide with rationing. When the grid is tight, digital life competes with physical life. Behavioral risk means every outage trains us to accept temporary resets. The more often it happens, the easier the next one is to justify, accidentally or otherwise. Inside Amazon somewhere, a team is still staring at graphs, willing red bars to turn green. They isolate a bad packet, an overloaded route, a misbehaving API. They push a fix, publish a bland postmortem, and move on. But the rest of us will remember that feeling, that moment we realized our world depends on someone else's uptime. Engineers like to say complex systems operate in partial failure all the time. That's true. But we've reached the point where partial failure is civilization. One misstep in one region and the illusion of permanence cracks. The hum of servers isn't background noise. It's the heartbeat of our error. If it ever stops completely, history doesn't end. It just resets the clock. When the lights come back on, notice what changed in the reboot. Are your passwords the same? Are the rules of your money the same? Is yesterday's article identical to the version you remember? If not, you're living through the quietest revolution possible. A rewrite disguised as recovery. Back up what matters. Keep paper copies of the things you can't afford to lose. Pay attention to what the next outage edits out of existence. But remember, I think the biggest risk is inconvenience. Some lost data, perhaps system downtime. If the apocalypse was actually upon us, we would have bigger problems than accessing Netflix or posting the next great post to read it. We'd be watching the end of civilization as we know it today. And for the rest of these theories, I don't particularly buy them. The government does not have control over our data today. In fact, private enterprise controls most of the government data in the Western world. If information was purged, let me tell you, you probably would know it if it was at any large, meaningful scale. But there would be no service disruption. The information would simply disappear or be rewritten. And then for cyber attacks or other attacks, they are possible. And people try almost every day. But generally, they happen on the customer side, like choosing password 123 to keep you safe, versus the data center side, which is nearly impossible to break. I know, because I invented the security protocols. This is Zero Signal. We are witnessing a great outage, but it ain't the last one that we will witness. Stay backed up, stay skeptical, and remember, the cloud was never above us. It's under our feet, humming, waiting, until the day the hum becomes silence again.